The Criminal from Lost Honor by Friedrich Schiller. In the whole history of man, there is no chapter more instructive for the heart and mind than the annals of his errors. On the occasion of every great crime, a proportionately great force was in motion. If by the pale light of ordinary emotions the play of the desiring faculty is concealed, in the situation of strong passion, it becomes the more striking, the more colossal, the more audible. And the acute investigator of humanity, who knows how much may be properly set down to the account of the mechanism of the ordinary freedom of the will, and how far it is allowable to reason by analogy, will be able from this source to gather much fresh experience for his psychology, and to render it applicable to moral life. The human heart is something so uniform and at the same time so compound. One and the same faculty or desire may play in 1,000 forms and directions, may produce 1,000 contradictory phenomena, may appear differently mingled in 1,000 characters, and 1,000 dissimilar characters and actions might be spun out of one kind of inclination, though the particular man about whom the question was raised might have no suspicion of such affinity. If, as for the other kingdoms of nature, a Linnaeus for the human race were to arise, who could classify according to inclinations and impulses, how great would be the empire, when many a person whose vices are now stifled in a narrow social sphere and in the close confines of the law was found in the same order with the monster Borgia. Considered from this point of view, the usual mode of treating history is open to much objection, and herein, I think, lies the difficulty owing to which the study of history has always been so unfruitful for civil life. Between the vehement emotions of the man in action and the quiet mind of the reader to whom the action is presented, there is such a repelling contrast, such a wide interval, that it is difficult, nay, impossible, for the latter even to suspect a connection. A gap remains between the subject of the history and the reader, which cuts off all possibility of comparison or application, and which, instead of awakening that wholesome alarm that warns too secure health, merely calls forth the shake of the head denoting suspicion. We regard the unhappy person, who is still a man as much as ourselves, both when he committed the act and when he atoned for it, as a creature of another species, whose blood flows differently from our own, and whose will does not obey the same regulations as our own. His fate teaches us but little, as sympathy is only founded on an obscure consciousness of similar peril, and we are far removed even from the bare suspicion of such similarity. The relation being lost, instruction is lost with it, and history, instead of being a school of cultivation, must rest content with the humble merit of having satisfied our curiosity. If it is to become anything more and attain its great purpose, it must choose one of these two plans. Either the reader must become as warm as the hero, or the hero must become as cold as the reader.